vez a cuidar de la misma manera. Yo aquí le quiero decir donde la gente viene. Va a estar mi primoana, mi juez, Juan, mi Gau, mi Maidula, mi juez Rafaela, and also with them up for it. So it's quite a high situation during the second we have to look at. Okay, the next slide, I'll try to explain briefly why do we have these amendments. But I think I should make the members aware that the presentation today is sort of the high level presentation because we want to be starting with the hearing in a 2 weeks time where we have all the details. And also make the members aware that the information is available in the conference as well. So today we won't be going into detail, but it's rather a high level type of the presentation. The first thing on why we did amend is because we had some technical errors in the hack itself, most of which were typing errors and errors on the language itself. So we had to correct that in order to align our legislation. And the second change that we made were on ambiguities in certain definitions. For example, we tried to put in some specification. There was one interesting ambiguity that was there, where we're defining the number of days. It was so complicated that when I first read it, I couldn't also understand it. So it's those simple things that we are correcting so that when a person reads the document, can easily follow what the document is saying. And some of the definitions that were corrected were to align the Act with, for example, environmental issues in the NAMA Act. So those were very straightforward things that were corrected in the Act. And we also looked at certain concepts which were not defined and started defining them. As I go along with the presentation, I explain those concepts. We also looked at the separation of powers mainly between the Minister of the DMV and the Minister of Finance, which I'll go back to if I go on in the presentation. The other reasons of amending was mainly the alignment of the NPRPA with the NEMA, which is the National Environmental Management Act of 1998. I think just for the bit there, this took the bulk of our work when we did the amendment in order to be able to align our work with the NEMA. The other reason why we amended was the insertion of omissions of the existing old device. I'll come back to that again. And it was also that we wanted to refine the appeal and review of some administrative decisions. I think those are the critical reasons why we decided to amend the Act. As I said that we needed to define certain concepts. One of the major concepts which we defined was the issue of beneficiation. If you remember, in the main act itself, we never prescribed anything on the base level. So in the amendment, the minister may prescribe base level for beneficiation, and the minister also, it should also allow the minister to approve that companies may beneficiate outside the republic in a prescribed way. But also of essence as far as beneficiation is concerned is that we define the differentiation of beneficiation in the Act, which we're not defined. For example, we separate between the four stages of beneficiation, that is the primary stage, which is defined as the winning or recovery of the mineral. And then the second stage, which we call the secondary stage, is the converting of the mineral into a concentrate, of the ore into a concentrate. And then the third stage, which is the tertiary stage, is from the concentrate to refine. And then the final stage, which is that of value addition of manufactured products. I think members, if they can cut their mind back, the other reason of causing us to be really definite about the initiation is concerned is because of the amendment we did to the precious metals and the Diamond Act in order to align the NPRPA with the definitions that we have in the other pieces of legislation. And the other amendment that you checked is we defined also the council was defined. In the main act, the Geoscience Council was not defined because it had no responsibility as far as that act is concerned. Currently, we're putting some responsibilities that has to be done by the council for which is that they are going to be the custodian of complex information. But as you know, the main function of the concept of science is complexity. So with that it makes it easier for the concept of science to be able to be a custodian of information, and that so they have that expertise of determining whether the information that they're getting is correct, unlike us. So therefore we have to define it because now they are involved. And then on the environmental issues, it was just mainly for alignment of the NPRPA with the NEMA. On the separation of power between the Ministry of the DME and the Finance Ministry, here the DME Minister will no longer be responsible for the determination of anything. I'll put the example of royalty. I think the members are also aware that we are expecting the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Royalty Act, which is being prepared by our sister department of the Treasury. And therefore, this paves the way because, as we know, because of the Constitution, all matters related to money issues are the responsibility of the Department of Finance. So therefore, our minister wants to be responsible for collecting the royalty, which will be the responsibility of the Treasury. So we made that correction also. The other amendment is effected, the alignment of the NPRPA with the NEMA. Here it's mainly alignment on the EIA, inclusive of definitions, procedures, and issuing of environmental authorization. We've quoted there the different sections where these amendments will be effected in the document that we have. We have also amended on the refining, the appeal and review of administrative decision. Under that, the main provision for a period by which an appeal is lodged, which was not there in the main act. This time frame has been put into 30 days for lodging in order for it to be aligned with the promotion of Administrative Justice Act of this project. And the second thing that we did is to rectify certain omission of existing order rights, which are still there, the main factors, the other order mining rights that were there, the OP20, the mining leases, and the sub-leases, and the OP20. These are mainly the rights that were there and recognized by the Mining Act, which were by mistake left out in the FDA. So we are just recognizing them again in the Act, what they are inspected. And then other affected amendments are in the order of processing and application where there is an appeal pending in respect of the same mineral respect there, which is in section 9. And also on section 18, 19, 21, page and 43, that's where we detected the issues of the concept of the fine. As I mentioned earlier, the concept of the fine is now empowered to the custodian of the processing information. And on section 40, we enable the Regional Mining Development and Environmental Committee, in short called REMDEC, to make recommendations to the Ministry of Environmental issues. Currently, REMDEC, which are regional structures, we're only involved in the resolution of disputes only, but they were not available for making recommendation on environmental issues. And we felt it should suffice if they also do that function because they are based in the region. And the other amendments that are effected is the change in the composition, the change in the name of the Mineral and Mining Development Board in order for me to also include petroleum, because as you remember RX is Mineral and Petroleum Resources. So we included that, and by doing that, therefore we also increased the members of the board of that institution, increasing the minimum number from 14 to 17, and increasing the maximum number from 18 to 20, just to be able to cater for people within the petroleum resources. I think those are the major changes that have been made. But there are also other amendments which are just quickly mention them. The most critical one, which is not on the presentation, is that the holder of the mining rights will remain responsible for implementation and management of downscaling and retrenchment until the closure certificate is issued. In the current situation is that there was no indication as to where does the responsibility end. So now now we are defining that because of the problems that we have found in the past, where some mining companies have lost themselves of their responsibilities before they could even get the social certificate. So we are currently saying your mining permit allows you to mine, and you can only absorb from it if you have received the social certificate. And the other one which has been very popularized nowadays is the compensation of expropriation. It's now included in that the procedure and the time for the institution of the rights is also included in the amendment. And then, Chair, whilst we were busy preparing all the documentation, we did quite an extensive consultation with the government department. I can just mention that probably the way it's put in the presentation is within the order of the serious engagement that we had and the time that we spent. Therefore, meaning that the ones at the top is where we spend quite a lot of time in trying to have a detailed document. That is the Department of Environmental, Internal Treasury, Water Affairs, Land Affairs. And we also involve other institutions like the Council for Science and the Petroleum Agency of South Africa. In conclusion, Chair, I would just like to mention that these are technical improvements to the MPSA in order for us to have efficient and effective administration of the state and our resources, and in order for us to be able to enhance cooperative governance between the organs of the state, and in harmonization of the MPSA also with the other legislations, which I've mentioned, the NEMA, the Mining Title Registration Act of 1967, as I landed, the Diamond Amendment Act, the Diamond Second Amendment Act, and also the Mine Health and Safety Act of 1986. And I would like just to mention again that there's no deviation from the main object of the Act and the principles that are enshrined in the Mining Charter. These amendments, Chair, are very important and critical for the smooth implementation and interpretation of the Act. So most of these amendments are mainly technical nature, as we have said in the past, and we hope that the House will be able to pass them as early as possible. Thank you.
We also note that perhaps a bulk of the work would take place during the public debt, as it were. But if we have any other things to say or to question.
Not just for a better understanding, maybe this will take about 10 minutes. When you are defining beneficiation, the primary, secondary, tertiary, and value added, just for our own clarity, two things. One, are you able to give us an example, say, of a precious, so neither gold or diamond, through those stages, what it means? To clarify in more practical terms. I don't think this will take long. Or even industrial mineral like steel, what that means. I'm asking this question because there has been an argument that some of the industries for beneficiation are not suitable for third world because we don't have the necessary engineering capacity. We produce our own cars, we have the market to sell it. With a small population like 40 million, some of the stages, the engine itself might need heavy industry, and you're competing with all industries of Europe, which have manifested through a historical colonial regime. So I'm asking that question because I just want us to understand all those stages and what might be suitable for us in South Africa.
Well, perhaps we hear that mostly these are technical amendments, we would want to get views from both players in the field. In your consultation process, I do not seem to have or to see consultation done to people of the industry. I would imagine that because they are also affected. I only see, even at the end, in the conclusion, by and large government information, that way, department and so on. The other area is what I think we do need clarity here on the amendment, the thrust of the amendment being technical. And you made examples of grammar, of language and so on. How long does it take us to detect that? I mean, we have had them just be in place for how long then? 2004? Are we not going to get into a similar situation in this? The other, I think it's covered when you said it doesn't affect the fundamentals of the charter. But yesterday, the Director General, when he was making the presentation, touched on key strategic questions in the entire portfolio. And one of those was the issue of security of supply. Now, in the situation where we're talking uranium and spotting thereof and so on, this also affects other minerals. Do we have that in place? Have we taken that on board? Because going forward, that would be one of the major fundamental issues as it relates to the entire portfolio, whether they're talking energy or whether they're talking minerals. So have we made provision for that? And if not, why? And if not, I would dare add that perhaps we need to say we will have to go back and work that out so that we are in line with your own strategic perspective insofar as the portfolio is concerned.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will start with the first question. The question of price being examples by the implementation of the education number 10. The first stage, which is the primary stage of defining as a stage where we have the crush rock, for example, on the gold mining sector. The crush rock will be in your first stage. And the second stage, the secondary stage, is where we have your ore. Then the next stage is the third stage, the refined stage, say for gold, for example, is when you refine your gold to a certain percentage. And the percentage that you use in the Fisher Metal Act is 99.9%. So that's your base level, at which you would be saying at the end of your mining process, is the third stage. So in general, the third stage would be the end of your mining process. Then the fourth stage is of manufactured goods like Venezuela, etc. Therefore, anything for gold above 9.9% will therefore mean that is your manufactured product. And then when it comes to industry consultation, I think, Chair, why I mentioned the government only, because if you look here, it's only government that was mentioned. That does not mean that it was not consulted. Industry was consulted, and we had quite a number of discussions with the industry, but why we only mention government is we only mention government departments, because as we come here and do a presentation to you, we are not expecting government and departments to be making any input into what is happening, but we are expecting industry to be making a better input. So therefore, we're saying all the consultation that we've done with the industry in the past, we don't actually recognize the full consultation, because they still have a time of adding whatever they want to add. But as far as government departments and associated institutions are concerned, what we have is what is agreed upon. And also the input from the state law advisor gives you to that here, the president and the but they were consulted on a number of issues. And some of the issues were also publicized in the newspapers when we consulted them. And then when it comes to the timing, I think we started implementing the NKPA in 2004. And we realized some of the mistakes that were there, especially the grammatical mistakes and the mistakes in the definition. But I think we have to appreciate, Chair, that because of the democracy we have in our country, it's dedicated time before you put law on the table. We actually started making these collections in 2005. We actually went to cabinet in 2005 the first time, but there were quite a number of delays that happened. Some of the delays were caused because of the congestion of the work that we're bringing to you, to the committee. You remember that towards the end of 2005, we brought three pieces of legislation within a period of 3 months. And at that time, we also wanted to put the HRPA on the table. And it was felt at the time that it was too much congestion. So we relaxed it, and when we relaxed it, we had another bite into it and took it back to cabinet again. So it's not because we realized it's not because it's too long. It's a matter of the timing, which I think was also important. And the other one here that you raised is the issue of the security of supply. In the current document, we have a dispensation where the minister could designate a certain area for certain purposes. During the drafting, we felt that can also cover the security of supply. But after yesterday and your question now, I think we have to go back and have a look at it and try and tighten it for the sake of our country as far as security of supply is concerned. I think you are right. It has been catered for, but I don't think it's catered for in an efficient manner, especially because of the things that we're still presenting as far as energy, security of energy supply is concerned. And we appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Absence of any inputs we would be having this public hearing from the 28th of this month. Would be looking forward to all the inputs from all the stakeholders, and that at the end of the day come out with the product. Well, thank you very much. Thanks.
Okay. Have you got me?